Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
You're studying the Apostles' Creed, and the title is Jesus as Lord, and I guess I want to say my title would be, If It Pleases You, O Lord. If it pleases you, O Lord. Now, the Apostles' Creed was and is an important document in church history and still is today. You talk about rooted, because in that day there was a lot of spurious and various teachings on who Jesus really was, and Marcion and all of the rest of them got it all goofed up. How many of you know philosophers and even sometimes theologians can get some things goofed up? And we don't want to get goofy tonight, do we? So we're going to communicate the biblical truth about Jesus, and that's what the Apostles' Creed, that was its goal, and it validates the biblical Jesus, and all we know about Jesus must come from the Scriptures. There's a lot of stuff floating around today that doesn't come from the Scriptures. I don't care who the church father was. I don't depend upon the church father. I depend upon the holy writ of God, the Scriptures. And if we cannot believe in the Scriptures, go on home. You're wasting your time. You see, in fact, I located 8,100 verses in the Bible that talk about lordship and Jesus as Lord. I stayed up all night long to do that. Well, I'm just kidding. But there are 20 pages in the concordance that will show you that this is mentioned over 8,000 times. Well, if that's the case, then it tells me that Jesus as Lord is a very important thing that we ought to embrace and live in. My introduction to true lordship was a prayer from my Pakistani hero, Nathaniel Barkhat. It was about 10 minutes before the house we were in would be surrounded by Muslims firing off their guns. It was just before we left his home for the airport, he prayed and began his prayer this way. He said, Oh, Master. And it was a prayer filled with a tender respect for his heavenly Father and Lord Jesus. Those two words have ricocheted in my heart over and over and over since that kind, great man of God prayed, Oh, Master. And the way he prayed, Oh, Master, reeked with a man's experience and submission to this Lord of the universe. Now, a man whom they have tried to kill over 10 times, who knows that one day he will breathe his last breath and that he will be gone, but in the meantime, everybody say, in the meantime, he knew there was one who had authority over his life and the rulership over his life, and to whom he had submitted himself to in a very volatile, in a very dangerous life there in Pakistan. Now, lordship doesn't come from knowledge necessarily, but by a daily walk and surrender with the Savior. That's where lordship comes from. And it's like my friend Cole Preem, who I met in Maryland just a couple weeks ago, whose first prayer of the day is, Lord, what do you want me to do today? This guy lives his life this way. He lives his life by hearing the voice of God. You know, I catch it every now and then. Oh, Lord. You know, he wakes up in the morning. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do today? Can I have a cup of coffee? And the Lord says, yeah. And he drinks his cup of coffee. He says, Lord, what do you want me to do now? He said, I want you to worship me for 2 hours. So Colt, in a very different and unusual way than any of us probably have worshiped, would worship the Lord. And he'd worship him for 2 hours. He'd say, Lord, what do you want me to do now? And the Lord would say, I want you to go to a certain bookstore and go there right now. And he got in his car and he went to the bookstore. And there was this lady who was all crippled up, all manner of disease. And this little guy, he's just a little squirt, you know? He's not some big booming preacher. He's just a little squirt. And he prayed for this lady, and she was miraculously healed. And on the heels of that, there was 12 other people who got in line inside of this bookstore to be healed. Because he heard the Lord. The Lord was ruling his life, and he lives his life that way. When I heard him in Maryland and saw the way he worshiped, I thought, boy, this is different. But I tell you what, when he ministers overseas and thousands get saved and 100 people at a time, deaf people get healed, their ears are opened, I think I really don't care how he worships, you know. And his wife one day said, let us, a couple of the ladies, we want to come and worship with you. And he said, you don't really want to worship with me. But he's so given to this idea of lordship, if it pleases the Lord. I can't think of a better definition of lordship, Jesus as Lord, than that one statement is to say, if it pleases the Lord. That puts you in position for the Lord to speak to you to do what he may want to do, usually other than what we want to do, and live in that context. This term, Lord, is a United Kingdom rendering of respect by a person to a person in authority, possibly to a king. And so a subject would say to a king, if your lordship pleases, and maybe bow or whatever posture is required. And when Nathaniel Barcott prayed, oh master, it was a defining moment for me as I listened to this dear man address his Lord. You see, if our hearts are not with tender respect toward Jesus, he will probably not be Lord of our lives. Tender, reverent respect. Oh, Master, if it pleases you, oh Lord. And live our life in that context, his lordship will probably not be an issue at all. We try to make him Lord. That's an inaccurate statement. You just can't really make him Lord. And I understand what you're saying and what I have said before, but he has to grow up in us as Lord. He will make himself Lord if we will surrender and just yield to him and take out all of the fear that if we don't, he's going to club us or something terrible is going to happen. But you see, if we have a tender respect toward Jesus, then more than likely, he will be the supreme ruler and authority in our lives with this carefully held posture, if it pleases you, O Lord. And that tender respect, this delicate and tender phrase probably ought to introduce any day into our life. Today, if it pleases you, Master. Master means Lord. Your Lordship. You see, we are His property. We're His property. And He has all authority over us. And may our hearts cry out to Him, if it be your Lordship, I will do this. If it be, O Lord, I will say this. If it be, O Lord, I will go here. If it be, O Lord, I will do this. And we will cry out the supreme cry of Jesus in Matthew 26, 39. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come. That's Jesus being Lord. I don't know of a greater prayer for Lordship than thy will be done, thy kingdom come, here on earth as it is in heaven. Grant it, Lord. I mean, that was the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer or whatever you want to call it. It's how Jesus taught them how to pray. And Jesus prayed that prayer and gave up total rights to His life before He went to the cross. But do we really believe this? And do we really live like this? That He really does own me and He owns you. And He is our Lord, and we should not have anything else or anybody else own us. He is our Master in tender respect. So tonight, do you have this tender respect of reverence in your heart toward Jesus? He's not the man upstairs. You don't know Him if that's the only relationship you have. He's just not the man upstairs and, oh, Jesus is my bud. You know, there's more to it than that. He is Lord of lords and He is King of kings. And He is the Son of God, the only God and the only Son. He deserves respect upon respect upon respect upon respect. He is Lord. And we shouldn't take Him casually or frivolously. Some people have more respect for other things than they do the Lord who wants to be the Lord of their life. But not everybody has that attitude towards Jesus. You see, some see God and Jesus as a hard, mean boss or employer, like maybe some of you have. And because they see God or Jesus as hard and mean and cruel and always out to get them and gonna put something on them because they sinned or made a false move, then their spiritual growth will be stunted and slowed, and they will never grow up into Christ, as Paul says in Ephesians. Or then there's others who see Jesus as, well, He's my, me and Jesus, we got this thing going. He's a lover, me and Jesus in love. And boy, I don't argue with that at all. But you know, baby, me and Jesus got our thing going. And we you can go live like you want and do what you want and say, well, in the end of the day, Jesus is going to love me and it's okay. When you become born again, everything changes. And attitudes like that change. But if you see Jesus in that context, then your spiritual growth is going to be stunted and slowed, and you will never move into this beautiful lordship position. But then there are those, like every one of you here tonight, say amen before I say it. Amen. And there are those who see loving Jesus as, and he's kind and He's compassionate and He's loving, and thank God He's forgiving. Amen? Oh, I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have a Jesus and a Savior who knew how to continually forgive me. Now, I don't know about you, because you all may be perfected and you may have had it all happen and got the second blessing like my father preached, you know, but you know, I need some help. And he's a forgiver. And he's loving and kind and he's compassionate and he's so wonderful. There's not enough words, but there are those who see Jesus and the Father that way, and they will submit to his authority and learn of him and follow him and deny ourselves and take up his cross and be a servant and be the seed that falls into the ground and dies so we can bring forth fruit, turning from sin and the world and the flesh and the devil. Turning from sin and the world and the flesh and the devil is moving up into him in a realm of lordship. And those who don't grow daily grow up into Jesus, and we're transformed in his image. And we go from the milk of the word to the meat of the word, and growing into him, becoming a good disciple, because lordship ultimately means discipleship. And lordship begins out of a relation. The most beautiful thing about this Christian walk is that we have a relationship with our God, and we have a relationship with our Jesus, and we have a relationship with the blessed Holy Spirit. Oh, my. Amen. It's all a relationship. We have a relationship with the Godhead, and they all relate differently to us, and we relate differently to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. My, you talk about a ride. I'm on a ride and have been for 46 years. It's relationship. Not rules and regulations and do's and don'ts. When you grow up into him in discipleship, all of those things just fade away. And you come into a place of reality in the spirit realm where you're being transformed from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Is this transformation that we have in him. And so lordship begins with relationship, and it begins with trust. I trust him. It's a good place to say amen. I trust him. Boy, I trust him. He has me. He has my life. I trust him. Boy, I trust my wife. I trust my kids. I trust every one of you. I try to trust everybody, but I tell you what, I really trust him. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, the gospel will not shame you when you embrace it in all of its beauty and the whole counsel of God. And so to make Jesus Lord is probably an inaccurate saying. He gives us all the grace to grow up into him. And it's not only a commitment to do so. I'll never forget 46 years ago when I gave my heart to Jesus, walked forward and gave my hand to the Baptist preacher. I made a commitment to be the best kind of Christian I could be. I made that commitment. I remember it well as I sat down on that blonde wood hard pew. When I sat down, I no sooner given my hand to the preacher, and I sat down and I made a commitment to God that I would be the best that I could be for him. So lordship is a commitment. It's not just a one-time deal. I wish it were. There are those who teach that. I wish it were that easy. We just might want to go to heaven then. If all of a sudden all of the qualities of discipleship were inherent within us when we were born again. Now, they're all there in the spirit and word realm, just ready to be worked out and yielded to come forth. I admit that when you get Jesus, you get everything. You do get it all. But there's a process when you realize, hey, I need to be filled with the Spirit. I need to yield to him. I need to surrender to him. I need to be empowered. And there's so many other realities, but it just doesn't come at one moment in the sense of growing to where he's Lord. Think about the disciples. Boy, they had some problems. Jesus loved them. Jesus loves you. The other day, I heard this in my spirit. I love you. Amen? Jesus loves you. I don't know what that was all about, but it sure did excite my heart. He loves you. So when you're born again, you make that commitment. Man believes in the heart unto righteousness, and that continual confession is until the day you die or until the day he comes. And boy, I don't know of any greater confession that Jesus is Lord. But we have to make conscious choices to surrender and to yield our life to him. When I got saved, Lana, my wife, said that Russ got saved and God took the alcohol and the tobacco and all of that away just like that, but he had a dirty mouth. And it took a while for that sanctifying grace, that is being separated to him. She says this, I can't remember it at all, but she said it, for the Lord to clean my speech up, you know. And so... Be careful when you judge somebody. God's the judge. We judge spiritually and we righteously discern all things, Paul said. Boy, that's good. We can discern every matter there is on the face of the earth. We can discern things about people, about ourselves. We righteously discern. 1 Corinthians 2, that whole chapter, one of the greatest chapters on the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, 2 Corinthians 3. Phenomenal stuff. But we make conscious choices. And so some do more than others. Some take baby steps and others just leapfrog and leap and bound into spiritual growth and maturity. And it's a marvelous thing. You know, we never really make Jesus anything. He is already everything. How can you make somebody everything when they are already? How can you make... Yeah, that's right, isn't it? Okay. Jesus is already everything, okay, you know. And he's Lord of all. Objectively, he is Lord of all. He is Lord of the universe. In him, all things consist. In him, all things are held together. He's the creator. All things for him, by him, and through him. And he's going to wrap it all up in the end and present us all to the Father someday. So... be in good and right relationship. I was preaching in Westcliff Sunday, and I said, boy, when it comes to the end, in this hour, two things. You better know you're born again, and you better be rightly related to the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And be clear of all things, as Paul said, between God and man and yourself. The hour behooves it. So we have choices to make these things. Paul says in Colossians 1, 15 to 18, I'll just read it. It said, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Right from the get-go, he's over all creation. Oh, that was the Father's heart to release it all to Jesus. For by him all things were created that are in the heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. They're held together, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have first place, preeminence. There is no other. Hallelujah. There are not many ways to get saved. There's one way to get saved, and that's Jesus. Someone would say, well, that's exclusive. No, it's not. It's all inclusive. Go ahead and receive him, and he'll include you in the whole pack. Amen. We can all be running buddies together. Amen. The same salvation that God brings. Here are some lordship truths, just a few that I like. Matthew 3:3 says, John the Baptist said, prepare the way of the Lord. Matthew 4:10 says, worship the Lord in spirit and truth. Matthew 9:38 is my heartbeat. He is the Lord of the harvest. And there is harvest going on all over the world. There's incredible harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. I'm not. We're not. He is the sole Lord of the harvest, and he's going to see it gets in. Whether we do or not, he's got plans we don't know about. That's a good place to say amen. I like this from Mary. Oh, I love Mary. I have a book I read every December a couple of times if I can. Most of the time I do. It's called The Mary Miracle by Jack Hayford. I think it's the best book he's ever written because I can understand it. You know, he's high, you know. Great, great man of God. But it's so simple, and I love Mary when she says, my soul does magnify the Lord. He has esteemed his handmaiden, given good things to the poor. And she goes on and sings this song to the Lord that is just incredible. Luke 1:46, my soul magnifies the Lord. Then our credentials come from him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's lordship. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel and the good news and heal the sick and open the eyes of the blind and set the captive free. You know, the raise the dead, the kingdom things, and that's lordship. When you're operating in those credentials of Luke 4:18, lordship is flowing through you. It's coming out of you. Oh, Master, if it pleases you. I'll never forget that afternoon there in Pakistan. God imparted something into me. Acts 5:14 says, the more were added to the Lord. Romans 13:14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I like this one in 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Now, I was reading this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where it says in the realm of giving, it says they first gave their hearts to the Lord and then to us. That's it. We first give our hearts to the Lord and then to others. And love them with the love that he has loved us. Then, of course, Revelation 19:16 says, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. The constant focus by Jesus and Paul is that Jesus is the center and the source of salvation, with us turning from self-righteousness to Savior righteousness. Now, Jesus talks about that in the Gospels. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am this, I am that. Seven times he gives those incredible declarations. He wanted it to be clear that it was all about him, and he did it without pride. He did it without lifting himself up. He made of himself no reputation, but at the same time he says, I am the one. You're studying the book and you're looking for all the ways, and just back up a little bit and look at me. I'm the one you're searching for. I'm the one. And Paul and Jesus deal with this because there is agreeably a tension in the Gospels about lordship. Then when you read Romans and Ephesians and Galatians and Hebrews, the great letters of salvation that Paul writes and all that takes place, and somehow I have to web the two together and put them together, and it's real easy because Jesus took the knowledge and truth he taught in the Gospels, then he revealed a new covenant to the Apostle Paul on another level, and out of that new covenant, everything all works together to where he's Savior, and then he becomes Lord. You got to be Savior first. When he's Savior first, then you're in step to make him Lord. Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no way enter the kingdom. And he's talking about quality here, not quantity. The scribes and Pharisees were doing everything by the law, 1,613 of them. But he said, unless your righteousness, talking about quality, unless your righteousness, which only I can give you, exceeds what they do, you'll not get into the kingdom. And he's talking about the righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus Christ that he talks about in the book of Romans. Paul got so far into Jesus, he never came out. 96 times I counted it and studied it of him being in Jesus. Paul got so far in, he never wanted to come out, and he really never did because of the righteousness of God. So Jesus was dealing with external things of the Pharisees, but dealing with internal things of righteousness as a man believes in his heart. So it's all available when you choose Jesus as Savior. You are positioned into his righteousness, and the progression of lordship takes a lifetime. It doesn't happen in 1 week. Isn't it good that God gives us a whole lifetime? Amen. I mean, he understands us. He understands me. He knew that I needed a lot of work, and it was going to take a lifetime to get me to the place where I'd be so wholly, totally committed to him. Nothing else mattered. I pray, oh God, if it pleases you, my Lord. If it pleases you, my Lord. I think we make it so complicated. Why, Paul, at the end of his life, they were coming ready to behead him. Don't worry about all the beheading. Pray the sword be sharp and go quick. Amen. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Even the sword cannot do it. I just pray if it comes to that, I pray it's sharp. I think I'll look at the old boy and say, is it sharp? Is it real sharp, buddy? Make it real sharp. Make it quick. You know. But I'm not saying that's going to happen to us, but we don't know. We don't know where we're going to find ourselves. And I'm going to address that in just a few minutes here. But Paul, before they were coming to get him, he said, oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, I smell the aroma of lordship. Even at the end, there were still things to know. There were still things to collect together that he wanted. It was Paul who said, I pray that Christ be formed in you. Formed in you. That you grow up into him. Paul knew it wasn't all done immediately. To be transformed into the image of Christ. So lordship involves the commitment of discipleship. Jesus gave several word pictures that describe a disciple. Now, a disciple is simply this. He's a learner, but more than just a learner, he's a follower. He's a follower of Jesus. So Matthew 8, 34 to 37, you know these scriptures. It's about the cross. He says, take up the cross. Deny yourself. Take up my cross and follow me. This is entering into a realm of lordship. And then count the cost, forsake all. What man having built a tower doesn't first set down and count the cost and look at it? We count the cost. We forsake all. Matthew 11 talks about the yoke. We take up his yoke, his truth, his teaching, his submission. We learn of Jesus first and foremost. You see, People are running everywhere, learning of this, learning of that, learning of who, learning of they. If we would first just learn of Jesus. Amen. Let's learn of Jesus first, and then let's take all the rest and put it together. I see a lot of people learning about a lot of things, but if you don't learn of Jesus first, you're going to get confused, you're going to end up in the ditch, you're going to be the blind leading the blind. Learn of Jesus first. Take my yoke, put it upon you. It's easy. It's no burden, it's easy. I am humble and meek in spirit. I will teach you. How many of y'all want Jesus to teach you? He's a good teacher. Then he sent the Holy Ghost in case we didn't catch it. He's a great teacher. So the big picture is not the fathers of church history and philosophy, but learn of Jesus. That's what Mary got. She got the good thing. He's the good thing. So in the morning, if it please you, my Lord, if it please you, let it be. Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it cannot produce fruit. John 15 was one of the great teachings of Jesus about producing fruit as we deny ourselves. You know, this is not a cruise. Some are on a cruise ship Christianity, and I'm afraid it's they've got the wrong perspective. This isn't a cruise ship Christianity. Ask Paul about that kind of a thing. But he said fruit bearing, and so a disciple bears fruit. He said in John 15, I would that you bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and remaining fruit. We want our fruit to remain. That's why Joshua Nations now has 6,240 schools and 43 nations now, soon to be in 50 languages, almost 50,000 students now, new schools starting all the time. I can't keep up with them. I get a report here and now, and I said, I didn't even know we had schools there. You know, remaining fruit, and many of you are a part of that. God bless you. God, thank you. You are a part of that. Yeah, give the Lord a good hand clap. I thank God for you. You shovel the coal and we spread the fire. And you keep our lives up in the air all the time. You know that? Thank God for you. And you want remaining fruit. So then we're to love Jesus above our parents. We're to be wholeheartedly devoted to Him. Now those are just some of the lordship pictures that Jesus gives that we flow into. And this encompasses the process of continually being separated unto Him in all aspects of our life, which you know is called sanctification, and the Father and Jesus and the Word all take a part in sanctifying us. They all take a part in separating us. Isn't that good? It's not something we can do. My flesh, I can talk to my flesh all day, but it don't listen to me. Amen? But the Word and Jesus have a sanctifying part in all of this, and the Father and the Holy Spirit. So leadership is the Father forever, constantly changing our hearts. I mean, at what stage do we become 100% disciple? I don't know. Tonight we may have 20% disciples here, and some that are 50%, and some 70, and then there's a few that are 100%. I want to talk with them right afterwards. You know. So is He Lord of our hearts? Is He Lord of our thoughts? We have over 10,000 thoughts a day. How many are His? Oh, boy. Guilty. He knows every thought before it's formed on our tongue. Think about that.
So
here's the reason sometimes things don't work for a lot of believers is that they put the word, they pray the word, they confess the word, but in their heart they have an arguments with God, and they're blaming God, and they're talking about Him. You see, their heart's not right. And until we get our heart right, things are not going to work. I don't care how much you do. I see so many people in great difficulty because they've got all of these contrary thoughts in their heart about God. And see, when He gets our hearts right, oh boy, I could almost, oh. When He gets our hearts right and our thoughts right and our thinking right, then He can be Lord. Is He Lord of our rights? That's what Pastor George teaches all the time through the years. Every now and then I'd hear him say, give up your rights. Give up your rights. Is He Lord of your rights? I walked into a conference in Walker, Louisiana, and we had just translated the curriculum into Romanian. And our head guy in Romania is Gheorghe Cazacu. He used to be a KBG leader. And he's a big guy, barrel-chested, and he still acts like he's a KGB, you know. And so I walked in, and he put three books in my hands. And he said, I said, Gheorghe, what are these? He said, translation, translation. I said, you got it done? He said, of course I got it done. You come to me now. I said, Gheorghe, I can't come to you now. You come to me November. I said, Gheorghe, I can't come in November. You come December. My leaders are waiting for you. You come. And I got thinking, I don't like to travel in December because I want to stay home, and I want to listen to Christmas songs, and I want to be with my family, and I want to drink my curry cup of coffee, and I just want to sit and chill. And I got this, I left him and said, Gheorghe, I don't know. And as I left him, the Lord just says, shame on you. Here's three nations, Romania, Moldova, Transnistria. You got a chance to go and train the leaders, and you're going to be in the middle of the gypsies, and you're going to start school with the gypsies, and you can go into Spain and go into London, and here you are wanting to sit home. Give up your rights. Hey, you two. So good to see you. I just noticed you. Thank you for coming. These are old friends and church members way back then. Oh, my goodness. And I thought, I got to give up my rights. Is He Lord of our rights? He owns us. Is He Lord of our actions? Finally, is He Lord over our very life? The one that we all love to protect and preserve. Luke 21, 11 to 15. Let me read this to you. And you can turn there, of course. But we're almost at 10 till, and I've got to wrap this up. So if you have to get your kids and I'm not done, you can go get them, okay? Luke 21, 11 to 15. I can't see with this light up here. Okay, 21 to 15. Let me get there. I'm in Luke 11. Sorry about that. Everybody say, Lord, help him. Lord, help him. In Luke 21, there's a scripture that's in several of the Gospels, and it's a powerful scripture. And beginning with verse, let's begin with 10. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. We're being greatly instructed by that. Thank God. But before all these things, before everything that Jesus has just mentioned, and of course he's talking to the Jew here, but still, let's think about this. But before all these things happen, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, deliver you to the synagogues and prisons. You shall be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, but I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries, listen to this, which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. Now listen to this. My friend Rustam from Tajikistan, we just started a school in Tajikistan. And Rustam was on his knees. They had a gun to his head. They tried to blow up his church, put a bomb under his chair, but he went to get his tithe out of his office, and the bomb blew up and his chair blew up, but he was getting his tithe to bring it back. So he's on his knees. They're going to kill him. And he asked if he could say something, and the guy that was going to kill him said yes. And he started praying for his kids and for his family. And the man started crying, laid down the gun, walked away. Any man who could pray for me, well, I am here to kill him. I will not do this. You see, the day may be coming when any one of us may be faced with this kind of situation. And we can't blame God. Don't blame God for it. We pray for the martyrs and all of those that have gone through pain and horror and tragedy. But it's all been an occasion for the gospel's sake. They would say, don't pray we get out of this. Pray we just have the grace for it, because it's for an occasion for the gospel. So no matter what situation you may find yourself in, no matter where you are or what's taking place, know that it's an occasion for a testimony for the gospel, and quit whining and quit crying and get right with God and be ready and willing, because this will be their last chance to hear the gospel. That's what he's saying here. They will not be able to resist what you say in that hour. Why? Because you haven't thought about it. You haven't meditated on it. It's going to be pure Holy Ghost, pure Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is going to get them. They cannot contradict it at all. They cannot resist it. The understanding is they cannot resist it. They're at the point they will accept Jesus. Amen. So what are we doing trying to protect our life and preserve our lives when God may want it to be an occasion for the gospel? Lord, is he Lord of our life? Is he Lord? Is he Lord of our physical life? Are we willing to give it up? I say let's give it up. Amen. That day may come. But it'll be the best defining moment of your life, because at that point you will realize it's not about what all you have done. It's not about what all have happened through your life. Your heart is right with God. You're obeying God, and you're right in the place to go on and be with Jesus. Your heart is right. That's what God wants. He doesn't really care about all that we do. He wants to know if our heart is right, and can we say, if it please you, Master. That's a picture of lordship. Jesus is Lord. So tomorrow morning and the next morning, ask, what in my spirit, human spirit, what in my body, what in my life needs to come under the lordship of Jesus? What is it, Lord? Introduce the day, Lord, if it pleases you, Master. If it pleases you, what do I need to surrender today? What choices do I need to make so that Jesus can be Lord of my life today? Amen. Just a few thoughts I'm having about Jesus as Lord. They're not the final thoughts. Far greater minds have had better. But this is what the Lord's teaching me. Am I really willing to walk with him in lordship? Let's stand together.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.